Now, when I hear the name Cardi B, I think cultural leader of the zeitgeist of the establishment music industry. When I think Cardi B, I think an absolutely terrible example for a bunch of people who have such strong cognitive dissonances and emotional damage that they actually find something quote-unquote positive from her message. When I think Cardi B, I think top 10 worst artists of the 21st century. For those of you that manage to not follow me on social media and see the spiciest of memes, or for those of you who somehow manage to still live under a rock, Cardi B was recently called out for having done some pretty awful things in the past. I know, fucking shocker. They resurfaced a video of her in the past of how she would have to lure men into the bedroom, drug them, and rob them. Now, I think the vast majority of people would say, yeah, this is awful, and she should apologize for it, and she gave the most half-assed apology you could possibly give. But there are still some people running defense for this awful human being. I'm sorry. The Cardi B fan base is one of the worst fan bases out there, bar none. If you want to talk about toxic fan bases in the metal community, let's talk about toxic fan bases in the pop community. You touch their queens, and then suddenly it's like the world is ending, and they will say and do some of the most awful things on the internet.
What's up, metalheads? Bloodbath McGrath here, outside Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. There are literally thousands of people streaming in here right now for Ariana Grande's concert tonight. She's playing two sold-out shows here at the Garden. There's a lot of people here, but I got one question. Is there anybody here that knows anything about heavy metal? Let's find out. Excuse me, ladies, are you here for Ariana Grande? Can we ask you a few questions? That's not a no!
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Greetings and salutations. You are listening to the Toad of Hell radio show. I am your host with the most, Breno, and here I am joined with the monster of Mosh, the proverbial golden boy, the quintessential stud muffin, 365 days of horror, or as the FBI knows him, Jordan. How are you, Jordan?
I started growing a beard about a week ago, and I want to rip my face off. It itches so much.
No, really? You don't like it?
For some people, it's like there's the itchy part where it's like 2 or 3 weeks and then they're fine. I'm starting till I shave it off, it itches, and there's like nothing I can do about it. I know if you like go onto Twitter or wherever and say, can you recommend like what to do for an itchy beard? 100 guys will jump in and be like, well, I use Schmuckler's beard balm 2 times a week. And, I use this 2 times a week, and then I shampoo 3 times, then I condition, and then I soak my beard in chicken grease, and that helps. And it's like, oh. I'm not doing any of that.
Hard Dick Joe's Cedarwood Beard Balm takes away the itch and thickens up your manly face.
Have you walked through one of these newly designed Targets recently? They're like upgrading all their stores now, and in the like self-care section, they like just have stuff for men. Like it's the special men's section, and even the floor is like dark wood.
Oh,
and
no.
It's all like tough guy beard explosion shampoo and stuff like that. It's like, just give me Head and Shoulders.
Ford F-150 driving Frank plaid Jack and Joe's ball butter.
Butter. Well, I mean, that's what it is. It all comes from the same Johnson & Johnson factory, and what the machine is putting into like women's hair care is just putting it into the men's, but it's two different bottles.
I mean, look, I'm looking forward to your beard journey here, and the only advice I can give as someone who's had a beard for multiple years is that you really just got to let it grow. It itches like fuck when you're like first growing it because all your little pores are screaming because you got these harsh little spinally motherfuckers in there just jutting out, so at a certain point, it just gets to like a nice length. And I mean, it still itches occasionally, but you get to kind of like scratch it while you're thinking, and you look, you know, you look prestigious that way.
No, see, mine itches forever. I've had a beard before. I know what I'm in for.
I know. I'm sure. But
I'll just get some sour cream and dip my beard into it for the cooling effect.
I gotta ask, why the beard decision, and why you put yourself through the struggle if it kills you so much?
Just because. Oh, I'm tired of looking at my face in the mirror, and I need something to cover it up.
That's why I cut my hair. I just looked in the guy in the mirror, and I was like, well, if I killed that guy, everyone would be sad. So I'm just gonna cut his hair because I don't want to look at him anymore.
Yeah, you cut your hair and you clean yourself up, and I'm going the opposite. I'm becoming more and more of a caveman. I haven't cut my hair in like 7 months. I'm now just growing a beard. I'm just going on full, like, not quite midlife crisis, but just like, I don't like the way I look anymore. I need to not do anything, and maybe that will make me feel better.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I kind of gave up on the haircuts, and I'm getting a little scruffy in the hair department again. I might hunker down and grow it back. I don't know. It was weird because I was expecting the big Fab Five Queer Eye reveal when I had my hair cut. I thought everybody in the world would be like, oh my God, you look so good. You look so much better. But everybody they're like, wow, why'd you cut it, man? What the fuck?
Isn't that the best when you make a big change and people are like, it's too bad.
I liked it better.
Well, fuck. Now what?
I don't know. It could be worse, man. I could be Vince Neil. Have you seen this? Have you boys heard about this? I'm sure you have. It's going viral on the internet. Vince Neil, apparently he's available on Cameo. Cameo is a website we've brought up previously on the show where you can go to this platform and there are multiple celebrities from like absolute Z-listers who will do anything for a dollar to people that will charge anything, anywhere up to like thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars, to like do these stupid kitschy little videos for you where you can do some sort of congratulations on a baby or a happy birthday. Specifically, we got these nice Motley Crue fans who were looking for a cute little video from their guy Vince Neil. Now Vince Neil, he charges $400 for each one of these Cameo videos, and all they wanted to do was get a very simple birthday message where they requested him to just sort of state, it was barely a paragraph. We're talking a couple sentences. Very simple message. Here we go. Happy birthday to Derek from Christian, Mom, Tanya, Ethan, and Blake. Shout at the devil to start off this new decade and take the opportunity to kickstart your auto search and sales. Listen to the doctor and feel good about the big 4-0 in 2020. See, y'all should have paid me $400. I fucking nailed that.
$400.
$400 fucking dollars, man. That's the kind of shit that would fix my month. You know what I mean?
That's a medical bill for a lot of people.
It is, yeah. That's the difference between like homelessness and, you know, a roof over their heads or electricity being on for most people. Vince Neil made an attempt at that little blurb there, and we'll go ahead and give that a listen.
Hey, Decker, this is Vince Neil. I want to say happy birthday, brother. This is actually from Christian, Mom, Ethan, and Blake. So keep on rocking, shout the devil, and do some feel-good stuff in big old 4-0, you man. All right, see you later.
So, yeah, not quite what I think they were expecting.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Chris, happy birthday, bro. Derek from Kristen, Blake, shouted devil, big four,
got a little winded at the end. To steal a term from wrestling, he was in no condition to perform.
No. And man, I don't know. I don't know if he's hitting the gym for that upcoming tour like he said he was.
You know, it's pretty sad, but not as sad as the time he killed the drummer from Hanoi Rocks.
Oh, yeah. Apparently he learned his lesson, though. You know, don't drink a lot before doing important things.
And all these Cameo videos all look like this one, too. It's them on their cell phone where they have, like, all of their chins right up in it in some like sad ass looking room. And they obviously don't care. Just like, hey, this is Mick Foley. Just want to say happy birthday to Timmy, who's 53. Have a nice day. Bang, bang.
Oh, man. I'm going to send you a fucking Mick Foley message for your birthday. You better
please
believe
don't. No, you're not going to, because we're going to send Joe one because Phil Labonte is available.
Oh, that's right. We still have to do that. I want him to do I'm going to ask him specifically. I'll be like, can you please get like really trashed and make a bad one?
Happy birthday to Joe. Taxation is theft. Big ups from your buddy Phil.
Oh, I'll prime that shit. I will send him a message like I'm a huge fan. I'll tell him like, listen, I'm a huge fan. Me and my buddies are all major libertarians. We love the shit you say on Twitter. We're following you every day. We want you to like make this really funny cameo video where you're drunk and you're slurring and you're talking about like, you know, taxation being theft and everything. And we'll pay a little extra just to make it happen for you. If that's
all right. Read us your favorite Fountainhead quote, Atlas Shrugged, please.
Yeah, there you go. But besides that, I mean, it's been a quick and dirty week in terms of news. There hasn't been a lot. James Kotak has been quiet. He's just pumped about his upcoming Monster tour. So I can't trash him today.
Yeah, he's too busy playing the Rumpus Room in Las Vegas with Kingdom Come to say anything racially coded.
He, like, is too busy to write the N-word on Twitter, remember, and then erase it, and then write something else.
I still appreciate his tweet that's just GD, ... Nickelback.
I think we could play Kotak Attack for that. No. Let's wait. That's a
you gotta save it.
It's
you can't,
a secret.
You can't weapon. Blow your Kotak Attack load.
No, that's something that you gotta hang on to for special occasions. You're right.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh man, I'm sure he's got something to say about that. Everybody does. We gotta come up with a theme song for Dee Snider. You know,
is it going on Twitter and saying AC/DC should play the Super Bowl?
Yes, yes, it is.
God. Damn it. What's wrong with these people? Like, is it just an old rock fan thing where they just want to see bands that they like who are even older play in front of a whole bunch of people like one last time? Is it like they deserve it because I like them?
It's just like it's just this great practice in exponential oldness. You just have some old fucking has-been fart who just like really wants to see people who are already like has been old fucking farts playing music from like decades before his bullshit. It never ends.
Rolling Stones are going on tour again. I just saw.
Oh, who?
They're in their 70s.
They're not supposed to.
There's just kind of this constant thing that comes up every year around Super Bowl time where people want to chime in and say, well, I don't like this pop star that's performing. Why isn't Metallica playing? Why isn't Black Sabbath playing? That would be so cool. And I guess I understand the appeal of wanting to see a band you like or a band that was very influential to the genre you like playing in front of millions of people across the world. But the way the halftime show works is it's not, you're not going to hear Paranoid. You know, you're not going to hear For Whom the Bell Tolls. You're going to get 15 seconds of a song before a rapper comes out. Yes. And covers one of your songs, and before another pop comes out and does one of your songs, and it's just chopped up into like 10-minute medleys and dance routines and numbers. And if that actually happens to the band you like, you'd hate it anyway, so what was the point?
You're gonna have Metallica just rocking it on stage for all of 20 seconds, and then some SpongeBob meme is gonna play. And then Billie Eilish is going to just, like, drag her feet on stage and just sing along. And everyone's going to freak out at that, and Metallica is going to be just catered off stage immediately.
The memory remains, y'all.
Give me fuel, give me fire. It's going to be that song.
It should be that song. That's the only way I'm okay with Metallica playing the Super Bowl, if they play stuff from Load Cast. No classics, just the shit.
Oh, man. It's like we finally do it. They hold the vote for who should be the next performer for the Super Bowl. And we all come together as a metal fan base. We put our differences aside and we get Metallica, the Metallica, on the stage. And then James Hetfield comes on and the whole crowd freaks out. And the first things out of his mouth is, "I am the table."
That would at least be fun, but... like, I don't understand why people want to hear Back in Black for the millionth time.
Ugh. It's a classic. It's just that good.
And I saw someone else point this out. I think some of the recent criticisms from these usual people for the halftime show is that it's just, oh, it's pop stars. Oh, it's rappers. We need rock and roll. From like 2000 to like 2010, it was almost all exclusively guitar and rock based bands. I could run through some of the performers. In 2000, it was just a medley of pop people and Phil Collins. In 2001, it was Aerosmith with NSYNC, Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly.
Oh, I remember that.
In 2002, it was U2.
We needed that.
And the theme, these used to have themes, remember that? Oh. The theme was tribute to those killed in the September 11th attacks.
Of course.
In 2003, it was No Doubt, Sting, and Shania Twain. In 2004, Janet Jackson, Kid Rock, Nelly, Justin Timberlake.
God.
In 2005, it was Paul McCartney.
These aren't even, like, the good bands from the times. Like, the good pop music from the times never shows up at the Super Bowl. It's always, like, shit that's kind of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years past its prime.
I mean, 2006 was the Rolling Stones.
Okay, well, that's, you know, 60 years past its prime.
In 2007, they did have Prince, which everyone loved.
Oh, yeah.
2008, Tom Petty. 2009, Bruce Springsteen. 2010, The Who.
So what the fuck are they complaining about?
They're old people. That's what they do. I mean, what else is Eddie Trunk going to do except be mad that Queensryche isn't being included?
I mean, even Shakira and Jennifer Lopez are, like, way past their, like, musical primo days. I mean, God, I don't know. Like, I gotta give it up. I mean, I'm glad that the Super Bowl is understanding that butts are the most important thing in the year 2020. Obviously.
I mean, it has been a decade of butt, so you might as well ride that wave.
Yeah, you might as well put a proper punctuation on a decade of just booty. It's gotta be those two ladies. I get it, but I don't know. I feel like there's some more current booty out there. Not to say that these women don't look like phenomenal for whatever age they might be.
Well, it's pretty easy to look good when, you know, you're rich. Yeah. And your job is to look good.
Yes.
You have the money to have trainers full time. You have the money to have a nutritionist. You have the money for someone to cook for you. You don't have to run out at 9 o'clock after working for 13 hours a day and just go to the dollar menu because that's the only thing still open.
I love everything you're saying, and I agree with it because these are all the excuses that are readily available for me.
Part of it's the truth. We're also – I'm so exhausted when I come home from work that it's just like, yeah, I could do a week's worth of meal prep or I can get a Stouffer's lasagna and it's ready in 20 minutes.
With the right. Absolutely. And I mean, like, God knows that, like, any given one of these pretty ladies and, you know, that are more in their advanced years – like, I mean, God, have you seen Selma Hayek lately? She's in her 50s, I think, if not even higher. But she still looks as good as she did in, like, you know, Dusk Till Dawn. Just how it is.
Yeah, it's good genes, and it's the money to take care of yourself. And for some people, it's human growth hormone.
Yeah. I think I should move away. And
then you look plastic like Sylvester Stallone does now.
I feel like I should move away from the appearance of, like, famous women.
Talk about the appearance of famous men. That's better.
Okay, Vince Neil.
He's like an orange on top of a honey.
I've just been looking at his, like, red bloated face this entire recording because that's, you know, that's what the video is for his, like, slurring cameo video.
He's ready to tour.
Yeah, he came in 4-0.
What is NFR? He's got this. He doesn't. He's not even like he doesn't set himself up at all for the video. He just puts his fucking shitty hat on. What does that say? Rodeo? Like NFR rodeo? Is that some kind of like, is that something I should know as far as like a sporting event for bull riders or something?
I have no idea. He clearly waited for the money to come in, and he's such a committed professional that he just turned the recorder on his phone and got it all in one take because, you know, he does it for the fans.
In other news, I know everybody was really concerned, but Don Dokken of, guess what, Dokken, he says he's doing much better 4 weeks after telling an interviewer that his hands were, like, totally dead.
Yeah, he had spine surgery, and yes, apparently his hands weren't working, which is pretty horrifying.
Yeah,
that's awful. As someone with back problems, it's, at some point I'm probably going to have to get surgery, so I'm not in constant pain, but this makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, your spine, there's a lot of stuff going on there. A lot of little intricate networks. You get a doctor with a scalpel in there, he's going to, you know... If I screw up at my job, I got to resolder something. You can't really resolder a back, you know. But God, I'm glad that some feeling came back. Did you say that he threatened the doctor?
He did. He gave an interview not too long after the surgery where he mentioned that he couldn't like use his hands anymore. And he heavily implied that he was going to find this doctor if things don't get better. And he was going to beat him up.
Yeah.
And you know, I it's bad that this happened, but it's incredibly funny to think of Don Dokken using his floppy hands trying to attack a doctor. And the doctor's just like, please stop that.
Please shut up. It's like, I'm going to go kick his ass because I don't have a choice. Otherwise I'd sock him one.
But apparently he's doing much better.
Good.
So it won't come to fisticuffs.
Now it's funny.
Fist of slaps.
Now I can laugh at it.
Yeah, like now I wasn't we can laugh
going,
at it.
Like I wasn't going to anyway. Oh, dear.
Well, he'll be playing Dream Warriors in no time.
I shouldn't host this show. I should not.
He's okay. He's doing okay. He's doing better. It's right. Just, it's a silly thing to think about now.
Yeah, I mean, his hat in this picture is a silly thing to think about now. It's like a Crocodile Dundee hat, and he's got like these big Ray-Ban shades on, and he's got like this, like, oh man, like this ascot that you would see like a 63-year-old lady in the grocery store wearing. The fashion choices of glam artists current day is really something. It's like,
well,
nobody,
yeah, it's
dresses
the same
like this
with them. Like Steven Tyler is kind of, yeah, the same. They're all looking like grandmas. They never stopped wearing the scarves and the eyeliner and the lip plumper. And you know, now that they're in their late 50s and hitting 60s, they're kind of getting a little frumpy.
They got a perm and they got that awful raspberry red hair dye. And then,
well,
just,
soon once they turn white, it's going to turn that bluish purple shade.
Blue haired grandma glam artists. Oh my goodness.
And they'll still be touring.
Oh, of course.
Like that Motley Crue Def Leppard tour is like selling incredibly well.
Yeah, it's like sold out pretty much everywhere you go. It's you can't get tickets for it. You can't pay hundreds of dollars to be disappointed by Vince Neil. You missed out. Unless you want to go on Cameo, of course.
I think it's probably just one of those people that don't go to concerts anymore, that this is like their one chance to go get loaded on $18 beers and listen to Pour Some Sugar on Me.
We talk about that concept, like these people, these mystery one concert a year people who like go in the limo and make it a big deal and hire a babysitter and
get a hotel.
And I always hear that, and I know we're making fun of them, but that kind of sounds like the shit sometimes. I went to a local bar show yesterday, and because I have these very vague aspirations to maybe record music again, and you know, I've been feeling kind of ruddy since quitting my last band, and I think maybe if I go to a couple shows, I'll kind of kickstart that inspiration, have a good time with local musicians again. And every time I go to this place, it just does the opposite. I'm just like, I am not going to bother. Look
what was about this show that made you feel that way?
It's hard to pinpoint. It looked like it was a good crowd, but when you have five bands playing and you have, what, five people per band, then you got 25 people in a bar. Of course, it's going to look like a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of these guys are actually pretty good musicians. Like, they do a good job. They're just kind of they're always missing something. There's some kind of key component to their composition that just kind of makes them miss that mark.
I think songwriting is an underappreciated skill that keeps a lot of bands kind of mired in just playing the local level.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, it's like some parts were like dancey and groovy, and I was like, okay, cool. This is like a nice little hook. But then they, for like the sake of progressiveness, will just take it somewhere like not even the right kind of goofy. Like it just sounds like you dropped your guitar, but it was on purpose. You know,
it's like there's a really fast part here for no reason in the middle of the song, and then it goes back to the hook or something like that.
Right. Like they thought in the practice space, like this one's going to really fuck them. This one's going to blow their fucking minds. This is it.
No, like rap and hip hop and pop, it gets a lot of shit for having like multiple songwriters and like contributors, and people like to be like, this Beyonce song took 25 people to write, but this death metal song, only one person wrote it, and it's so much better. It's just like that Beyonce song is certified platinum, and this song on Spotify from your death metal band has 200 plays.
Right.
Maybe they should include some extra writers. I think in a way, like, metal could benefit at least certain bands with maybe having someone else jump in and be like, look, this is what you do. You're going to cut out this part. You're going to cut out this part. It doesn't need to be 19 minutes long. This section, this 3 minute and 45 second section, that's your song. Go.
Did you see the, I think it was like a sign or something that was related to Green Day where they're talking about like no Swedish writers.
Yes. Oh, what?
Just pure rock and roll.
So they have this, I guess they have a new album coming out. And by the way, all these guys are almost 50, but the sign, the lettering, it's all, at least to me, it looked like cocaine.
Oh,
piles of cocaine cut up into like no Swedish producers. And what was it? What were some of the other things?
I can't remember. It was just like a lot of jabs to modern pop music.
We got to find this.
I think Twitter.com is the answer. And this is good stuff because Twitter.com is really why we're here today. We got some stuff to talk about in terms of Twitter and whatnot. Oh my God, Green Day's Twitter is fucking awful.
Did you expect more from a band of 50-year-old? Oh, here it is. I found it.
Okay, you read it then.
So yes, it's at least in May. It's either a whole bunch of cocaine cut up into letters or dandruff. So it says no features underlined, no Swedish songwriters. Underlined. No trap beats. Underlined. 100% pure uncut rock.
Oh, so it is cocaine.
Which is weird because it is cut up.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, Green Day, Father of All out now. And that's the sign that's making the rounds on Twitter right now.
Oh, this fucking unicorn playing guitar. They probably thought that was such a good idea.
Is that what the album cover is?
Yeah, well, I mean, the album cover is a unicorn in a t-shirt puking rainbow.
Guys, it's not 1993.
Oh, man. It's always 1993 when you're Green Day.
Sometimes I give myself the creeps.
Yeah. Oh, it's just terrible. It's just awful. They're going to be, they say all that shit. You pure, uncut rock and roll. Green Day on the Ellen Show tomorrow.
Yeah, uncut rock and roll, you know, Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
For their 3 minute song about, I don't know, being mad at their parents still and saying the F word.
So I brought you on here today with the concept that we were going to discuss a couple things that I had seen kind of blow up on Twitter in my own little mini black toxic little circle that seems to always be a thing. I'm always so miserable on Twitter, and I don't know if it's just me. You know, speak up if this isn't the case, but I feel like Twitter is just completely awful. Twitter is like cigarettes. You keep smoking them because you know it's cool and you want someone to kind of hang out with and do with people, but you know it's slowly just fucking eroding you from the inside.
I've gone ahead and to improve my mental health when it comes to Twitter, just started muting accounts and words and phrases, and I'm well over 100 since doing this in January, and it's helped a bunch.
Has it?
It has. I think I've muted every presidential candidate, like all their names, misspellings of their names, phrases that they use. It's helped a lot. Stuff still kind of gets through, so then I just got to quickly get rid of that. But no names with blue check marks that somehow have 28,000 followers and go, Bernie bros are dumb. Well, I'm going to mute that. Joe Biden, more like Joe bitched in. All right, I'm going to mute that too.
I know. I always keep track in my head who says what and what sort of horrible shit people say about like the early Democratic candidates during these like preliminaries, because God knows that these same exact fucking people are going to be treating them like the next coming of the Messiah come like October, November. You know what I mean? Pete Buttigieg, yes, my sweet baby, save me.
Please gnaw on my walls, Mayor Pete.
Please chew the wires behind my oven, Mayor Pete. Please, baby.
Well, we'll see what happens. We got the New Hampshire primary coming up this week. By the time you listen to this, it'll already have happened. And maybe there'll be a decision this time.
Right.
And then we have Nevada, South Carolina, and Super Tuesday. And hopefully things are decided by then. We can move on.
Right. Back to my Twitter circle, where everybody talks about killing themselves every day and not realizing that it's the platform's fault that they're sharing this information on. So what was happening? There were two bits of kind of major metal Twitter, quote unquote, drama, where the first bit was a couple jabs about metal fans who prominently, proudly listen to pop music on the side as well. That was one bit of the drama. And the other bit of the drama was there was kind of a blow up about this new. Well, so this band called Sanguisigabog. Did I say that right?
Sanguisigabogs.
Sanguisigabog. Sangria boogers.
Sanguisigabog Bulger.
Yes, right. That's exactly it. So the Sanguis, I guess they released a just some public announcement about how they're aligned with everybody, every gender, every race. Come to our show, buy our T-shirts, et cetera, et cetera. You know, which is good. That's fine. But the backlash to that backlash was, well, here's your lyrics, guys, which are pretty typical of your like, you know, porno grind demo. Hidden somewhere
off,
deep.
Off their demo called Pornographic Seizure.
deep from Metal Archives, we drug this band up and we found some way to kind of make a controversy about it. So so basically there was kind of this big, huge fight about death metal and death metal lyrics and the violent, brutal stuff towards women and how that's fine or how that's not fine. Constant harassment and bullying everywhere. Constant clapbacks, constant screenshots. It was like a whole mess. People privatizing their accounts left and right to stop being, you know, constantly just
harassed
by chuds. Because the moment you, because defend death metal, gun on my gym shorts.
I think part of this also comes from the vocalist from Sanguiga Google Gigi Bob is also in a band called Limb Splitter, who are still active, and they're actually playing Maryland Death Fest, I believe. They put out an album in 2017 called Chloroform Cocktail, and it it's disgusting porno grind where it talks in vivid detail about sexually assaulting and brutalizing women. I mean, don't look up this album cover when you're at work, put it that way. And I think it's kind of this weird disconnect between putting out a statement like that when you're in bands and you're in a band that put out an album in 2017 going against kind of that idea. It's kind of like this wasn't something that you put out in 2001.
No,
it's not like, oh, I was 14 at the time. You know, I'm stupid. I apologize for that. It's wrong. I don't think that like there's some leeway and there's some like, you know what, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Like that could have been a response. There could have been some sort of understanding. But this album came out 2 years ago and the band's in their 20s now at this point. I don't believe the band has responded to any of this. And it's probably for the best for them not to, because I there ain't much to do other than straight up apologize to somewhat placate people.
Oh, man, they're coming to get you, Jordan. Remember what I said about the FBI knowing your name?
You know, it's amazing. Every time we record, sirens go off.
Of course. It's the
it's the scene police.
It's the scene police, of course. Just tell us to stop making spooky lyrics.
Oh, you're not defending death metal. This is what death metal is supposed to be, being vicious to women.
This was one of those things where I didn't really come out and say anything. I probably deleted 11 tweets that I had tried to put together with my thoughts on this. But it's I think I just have this like black mass in the front of my head that is just pure caveman toxic masculinity. And like the first thing out of like my knee jerk reaction to anything is like, God, stop being such pussies. But eventually I kind of unpack that and I challenge that and I think about that. And most death metal fans don't. That's all their brain is just that big black mass. You know what I mean? So you saw a lot of that, but I unpack it and I go, well, why do I think everyone should shut up? Like, why am I not offended by it? Oh, it's because like I'm a middle-class white guy. I don't have to deal with the same kind of struggles that some of these other people might deal with. And, you know, my opinion really doesn't fucking matter if I have something to disagree with those people about.
Yeah, I think it's important just as human beings to kind of take a step back sometimes and figure out why something's upsetting or why something might offend people. If like your initial reaction may not be you're offended or you don't understand quite why, it's sometimes you have to put yourself in different people's shoes to get it. It's kind of like when it comes to National Socialist Black Metal and SBM, to some people, it doesn't matter. And we joke, we say, but the riffs.
Right.
And I think for some people who may not necessarily agree with all their thinking or, you know, even care for it, it doesn't affect them. They are not a person of color. They're not Jewish. They're not gay, whatever. And it's important to understand why it might upset someone like myself or other people and why it's offensive and disturbing and concerning and how other people may listen to that and act out on it. They may get certain ideas, whether they're explaining it or complaining about it on Twitter or actually going out and do something about it, inspired by some of these things. We can look back and take a look at like Cannibal Corpse lyrics. And Cannibal Corpse is kind of one of those high up echelon iconic bands that, as their songs, especially in their early years, were pretty brutal towards women.
Oh, of course. A lot of the excuse that death metal fans fall back on to defend this sort of stuff is like, oh, it's like an 80s, 90s slasher flick. It's just like that. And it kind of set my brain off there because, well, I noticed we don't have slasher films anymore. And then the reason for that is because we had a couple decades of that already. It's not how you can scare people anymore. It's not how you can come across and kind of artfully represent yourself these days in terms of making a movie. Like, you know, the thing with modern horror has been moving away for that. Things are a lot more psychological. Mm-hmm. It's the same shit with, like, I don't know. I saw people making fun of the whole SJW angle by being like, oh my God, you guys, I just listened to this album from Obituary. They're talking about cutting someone in half. I'm fucking screaming, fam. I'm fucking shaking, RN. Yeah, but that album came out 30 fucking years ago.
I think the difference is also the specifics of what's being written about. I am going to chase you down and cut you up versus I'm going to chase you down, you stupid woman, and do things sexually disgusting to you because you are a woman. It's that change where it goes like, you have serious problems and you need to get this figured out versus like a generic cloud of violence or I'm a spooky monster, man.
Like Sanded Faceless isn't about some whore slut that fucking deserves this. It's there are some Cannibal Corpse songs that are definitely like that.
Most definitely. I mean there's Fucked With a Knife versus, oh God, Earlier Time You Go, To Kill Is Now.
Right, earlier you go, the worse it gets. And I think they get that. I don't know. I don't ever want to bring a Cannibal Corpse guy on here and hear his opinion on any of that shit, but I don't know. At the very least, it's fucking passe. It's like been there, done that. At the very bare minimum, it's like we've had this shit over and over again. We already had the age of shock rock with Anal Cunt. Like, Anal Cunt came from a very specific time frame where it was just like peak white guy offenses art hilarity. You had your, you know, newgrounds.com, et cetera, et cetera. People were all about that shit back then. And it just isn't really a thing anymore. We've kind of beaten that horse to death. Why keep doing it?
We've moved on, or we at least should have moved on. And whenever someone brings up the argument of this is what X is all about, it's just like, whatever X is, black metal, death metal, things outside of music, that stuff evolves. It changes. It's not set in stone at the time, and that's it. It can never be anything else. I mean, how many hundreds of subgenres do we have? Like, it's not just first wave black metal. You got post black metal. You got atmospheric black metal. And the lyrical content could and should be changing along with that.
It's at the very fucking bare minimum, it's lazy.
Yeah.
It's lazy. It's like this has already happened. People have already done this way better than you're ever going to do it. We've kind of had our way with some really great violent death metal albums. Hold on one second. Oh, my cat is locked in my room. Say hi, Zoe. Baby, you just wanted to be noticed. All right, let me take her out of the room. I'm not going to edit that.
No, leave it all.
I'm not fucking editing a second of that. That's just going to be, you're going to hear the silence, the door opening. My cat is calling me out on my problematic behavior like always.
You are canceled.
Canceled.
And bringing it back to Sanguigugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugug relatively new band, Raw Hex. Mm-hmm. And if that name doesn't sound familiar to you, it's because they feature former members of Young and In the Way. Now, do we remember what happened with Young and In the Way?
I don't. Let's refresh my memory.
They were accused by multiple people of sexual assault and then trying to cover it up and then blaming other bands for it and quickly broke up. But two or three of the members are back together in Raw Hex, and now they're playing with this band who preaches wanting tolerance and blah, 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 while still having these gross lyrics. So, shruggy emoticon.
Yes.
Do with that what you will.
And I wanted to make another point. There is this one particular character on Twitter who probably was the pushiest in terms of just like bullying everybody who had something to say about the lyrics. And I mean, like, this guy has, like, days after everyone had kind of moved on, which is funny because here I am talking about it, but I'm talking days after everybody moved on, this guy kept going and going and going and going. It turns out he is a member of Guilty View, which is another band that's going to be on the show. So, like, this person has just been, like, on a campaign of bullying for the whole week since this whole thing broke out.
What a fucking scam.
And he's going to be playing this show with Sanguisa Googa Booga and Raw Hex. And I don't know anything about Harsh Realm, but, I mean, y'all are guilty by association now.
God, what's with band? Just people throwing words together for band names now.
Hard Target.
Dark Pillow.
Monster Energy.
Angry Crotch.
Super Mario.
Drugs McStuffins.
Hard Seltzer.
It's just mashing two words together. I think we've used up so many band names that we've gone back to the beginning, and now bands are like one word, like Vain or Candy, and now we're just putting two random words together. That's the level we're at now.
Cheese Doodle.
God, I love Cheese Doodle.
I'm just looking at things in my room and saying them. My room is trashed. Oh, do you guys believe it? Taco Bell. Yeah, just like two. It's if the one name is taken, you just, you know, put two names together. Metallica, Megadeth,
butt,
ass butt.
Have we learned anything from this, or is it just Twitter is terrible?
My greatest takeaway from this is as much as I can kind of see both sides, because I do understand that, you know, it is just fantasy. Like, I don't think anyone's going to go and kill anybody outside of this. I just, what I can't stand is how these death metal fans, like, think they're tough or they're hard or they just have thicker skin than other people. Dude, you guys have been hiding these Mad Lad lyrics behind unintelligible oinking for 30 fucking years. You're hiding. You're fucking cowering in the corner and going beep 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 beep. And like, yeah, of course there's horrible stuff behind it, but I don't know, dude, like every hip hop song ever is tougher than you guys because they say it out loud.
And I think ultimately it doesn't even have to be hard or angry lyrics.
No, not it doesn't. It really doesn't. It could be anything. I've been listening to death metal for the better part of my whole life. And I mean, there's been lyrics that haven't been about that from death metal's inception. They don't need them. It's a very specific kind of guy with a very specific kind of chin beard who just writes these lyrics. And, you know, he's not always the guy you want to invite to your kid's birthday party.
And it's like in a comparison to black metal at this point, 2020, how many times can you do songs about burning churches and wanting to let Satan lick your earlobe? It's done. You can call yourself whatever ancient Mesopotamian god name you want, but you're still Joel when you go home.
Lucifer, kiss my tummy.
Whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
Hold hands in the pale moonlight in the forest winds.
Buy me chocolates on Valentine's Day. Bleah.
Tell me, my mother. Satan.
We need to make that band.
I fucking will. It'll be like Picnic of Love, Satan style. It'll be great. Man, I cannot leave It'll Come Alone. I probably should. I shouldn't host the show. I said that already.
So what was the other Twitter issue with pop music? Because I missed that, thankfully.
God, I was getting to that. Just hold up.
I'm pitching it to you. Come on.
No one's going to listen to our show. All right. So the next Twitter drama was that, I don't know, a bunch of metal fans thought it would be cool to talk some shit about people listening to pop music on the side. Like just being like, I'm not your usual metal fan. I'm so quirky. Because I listen to pop music, too.
I'm not like the other moms. I'm a cool mom.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This was the statement. Another thing I have mixed feelings about, and I wanted to, you know, I mean, my initial gut reaction is let people listen to what they fucking want. It's like the age of Spotify. It's all about playlists. You can click on anything, and any song you can think of is readily available for you to stream on that platform. If it's not like the most underground, like Bandcamp exclusive nonsense, it's right there for you. You can just mix and match as you go. I think that the age of the, like, fucking old guard metalhead has completely come to an end, and they're just flailing and shitting their pants because of it.
And saying who should play on the halftime show.
Right. I mean, I don't ever hear good ideas. Like, I don't hear anyone saying Gwissa Googa Boogoo should play the halftime show. They might as well.
So are there people, like, really saying, like, you shouldn't listen to, fuck, I don't know, Billie Eilish because it's not metal?
Here's a name I'm going to throw at you. And I know it's going to perk yours up. Carly Rae Jepsen.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on with that? What don't I know? Because I have probably a dozen or more people in my circle of metal dudes with tattooed arms and pierced faces who stan Carly Rae. And all I know about Carly Rae Jepsen is that one horrible song from 10 years ago or so.
Call Me Maybe? Was that
it? Call Me Maybe. It was one terrible, terrible song. It blew up the fucking charts because it had that awful earworm hook to it with the orchestra. God,
so here's my number, so call me maybe.
I hated that. And then they had the fucking music video where it turns out the dude is gay in the end, and she's like, figures, it's so, it was terrible. It was completely terrible. But I guess she's released so many albums since then, and people in the underground just love them and bring them up, and they get reviewed on any given underground site. And I mean, do you have any insight on that at all? Because I don't.
100% not. Right. Maybe she just makes catchy songs and metal dudes love it, kind of in a similar way of like with Paramore. Sure. Like you'll have the toughest death metal, it's all I listen to, but you know, oh, you know, I like this pop punk band with their catchy hooks, so maybe that's part of it. The other part of it might be like meme culture, where, oh, this song is so dumb, I'm gonna listen to it. I'm gonna listen to it again. I'm gonna listen to it again. You know what? I'm gonna listen to the whole album, and it's kind of gone from there.
Right. I think what people don't acknowledge about that, I think it was Rebecca Black Friday song, was that the reason people kept clicking on it wasn't because it was so horrible, but because it was like admittedly catchy.
I think it's a part of it is somewhat, I like this, but I also don't like this, but I'm gonna keep listening to it anyway.
I like hating this. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't get that vibe. I don't. I think that these people legitimately love Carly Rae Jepsen. And I mean, look, man, it's like, to quote Suicidal Tendencies, and by that I mean paraphrase because God knows I can't pull these lyrics from the ether. Just because you don't get it don't mean it don't make no sense. Just because you don't like it don't mean it ain't no good. It's like to each their own. Like, if you fucking are a big beardy dude in camo pants who loves Carly Rae Jepsen, cool. Why not?
Yeah. What difference does it make to my daily life if you like listening to a pop song or a death metal song or grindcore or something like that?
I got into this conversation with my wife, and I was trying to kind of convey that to her. I was like, look, you know, people can listen to what you want. Questioning anybody's fandom for in any kind of angle is just very toxic. You'll see that a lot with like nerd culture, people who will question the level of gaming or comic book or Star Wars fandom, especially if you're like, you know, a woman or person of color and you're not some fucking white balding nerd. I think that shit is just like a slippery slope, and that slope falls right down to just like chud territory. But she says that she kind of gets why it would, you know, turn some heads and be kind of weird, because it's like the brony effect kind of thing. You got these guys who just like ironically co-opt something that isn't really for them so that they can kind of just wear it as a weird accessory to their goofy personality.
Yeah, I don't know. The internet's weird like that. And I think it's just kind of become this big mush of liking things, but also hating things, but also wanting to fit in. And you get these like weird offshoots that like don't really make sense, and you end up wasting a lot of time when you could be going after actually bad things. It's like people, at least when I see it, it's like people going after other presidential candidates in their preferred party when they should be going after the other person who's doing actual awful things. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's it's kind of like we have these slight differences. You know, you may want to take the highway to get to the destination. I'm going to take the interstate, which maybe it's a little slower or yours has tolls, but we're getting to the same destination eventually together. And some people just want to drive into the ocean rather than take the interstate.
You know, I am a whole other level. I am so underground. I'm on the fucking Tesla tunnel. You can't you can't drive where I'm driving, boy.
God, can you imagine fucking up all the time so much like him and still being given millions of dollars to just do whatever pops into your head?
I had this really great criticism against criticism that I used to use. Like, say you're talking shit about a band, right? And then the band hits you back with like, well, let's see, you record an album. How's your album coming? You know, let's hear your music, things like that. And I used to measure that against the concept of the car manufacturer who had like, you know, recall problems or all sorts of customer support issues or anything like that with their vehicles breaking down. Like, you're not going to see the CEO of Ford come out and be like, you build a fucking car. Let's see you engineer a complete working automobile that never fucks up. Let's see you do it. You're never going to see that. But with the rise of Elon Musk, you're definitely going to fucking see that from that guy on a daily basis. Like, he will say that to people on Twitter.
He called someone who rescued trapped children in a cave a pedophile.
Right, because that guy saved them before he could invent a way to get those kids out, and he was mad about it.
He could invent a submarine.
I have created a perfect bubble with which to save the children from the cave.
He's said stuff on Twitter where like, his company has lost money, like on the stock market, and he's been censured by companies because of it. And there's no good ending to this.
That guy cannot fucking win. He crashed the Cybertruck. Cybertruck's fucking window broke. It goes deep. We're not here to discuss Elon Musk. We're here to discuss the big stinky Musk of 100 death metal dudes that are mad online.
And they all look the same too, by the way.
They all look the same, yeah. You guys just need to, like, I don't know. I would say take a shower, but I feel like that's going to clog up, like, you know, the water basin or whatever if you all went at once. So you got to kind of...
Well, they got to share the hose.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man. That's imagery in my head that nobody wants. Let's get to something fun. What are some pop acts that you can kind of proudly say that you like? Something that's a bit poppier or a bit, you know, left field in terms of like listening.
I don't know if our Canadian listeners will probably remember them. And some people like myself who had much music in the late 90s and early 2000. I don't know if you know them, but the band Prozac.
Prozac. I don't think
it was
heard Prozac.
Two cartoon characters that had an album where all the songs are about love. And I used to watch their videos on Much Music. And on a trip through Canada, driving through one of the highways, there was an HMV store. And my dad was kind enough to take me there. I bought their album. This was like before Amazon, before you can buy stuff easily. And yeah. I still listen to it this day, but it's all the songs are about being in love with different women across the world. And it's silly, but it's super catchy, and it always makes me happy. Another one is, do you know the video game Kingdom Hearts?
Yes.
It's with the Disney characters and Final Fantasy characters. The woman who does the theme songs that are used in all those games, her name's Utada Hikaru. Love. Absolutely love.
Do
everything
you?
She does. Absolutely.
You like a lot of Japanese music?
Not a lot. This is just kind of one of those things where I saw the commercial for the video game and I'm like, wow, I really like this song. Let me find it. And she's done other stuff, and not all of it is super appealing because she's done like hip hop kind of things. It's like, that's fine. But some of these songs are like top 10 songs for me.
Did you actually play the original video game?
No, I've actually never played any of the video games. It's all based off a commercial where I found this artist's music, and it makes me happy and sad at the same time, depending on the song.
You should try it. I think you would hate it.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I just have a feeling that you would not like it.
I don't like anything.
Right. But you like the theme song. Great. Now I'm on the chopping block here. So it was interesting I brought up the art of offense in terms of, like, you know, your G.G. Allin and your anal cunt, because earlier in the decade, if not prior to the decade, there was a YouTube channel that I fucking watched all the time, even though I shouldn't have. I should have been a better person. It was called Filthy Frank. And Filthy Frank is most known for creating the Harlem Shake meme. Often what this guy does, and he was this half Japanese guy, he would kind of regularly go through just either the streets of, I don't know, could have been New York City, could have been Tokyo. He would kind of go back and forth, and he would put on like this pink skin tight jumpsuit, call himself Pink Guy, and he would just act really fucking gross and weird. And he had just like lots of gross and weird videos, and he pretty much just like was as possibly offensive as you could be on YouTube and get away with it. So he's built up all this fame from that, and he has like launched this sort of hip-hop career from it, not like, I don't know if I would say it's hip hop. It's more like pop music, like singy song stuff. And I think it's really fucking good. Like, I've heard a few songs and this guy's like actually an amazing artist. And, you know, now his music is like actually getting on the charts and stuff like that, like by its own merit, which is just so weird to me.
I fell for your magic. I tasted your skin. And though this is tragic, at least I found the end. I witnessed your madness. You shed light on my sins. And if we share in this sadness, then where have you been? I know you're not alone, like you used to be. Cause I'm not the one, like you used to think. So you just I know that he's stuck in this mystery.
So he's dropped the shtick?
Oh, completely. Like, totally. And you can
look. Is it going to get canceled now that he's getting more well known and people are going to find these things that he used to do?
I think he has such a strong fan base of Chudwicks that he really, even if he did get canceled, he would just fall into the fat, chubby arms of all the people that loved him back in the day. Like, he released this. I think his final swan song for the whole Filthy Frank saga was he released a hip hop album like underneath the guise of Pink Guy, and that thing was like number one on iTunes because he just had so many fans downloading it. And it's all like pure offense, horrible stuff, you know, like the things that I would never want anyone to know that I would listen to. But here I am fucking admitting it. But I mean, look, this was kind of earlier on my path in life. And mediocre white guyness. I've stopped watching Filthy Frank. And then this guy comes out and it's like, hey, he's under the name Joji now. He's making music. And I listen to it. And I'm like, fuck, man, this guy's like really talented.
People's lives are weird.
Isn't that just
strange? Can you imagine we wake up, we go to work, we come home, and other people are doing whatever this guy's doing? And that's their life.
It's like the Cash Me Outside girl when she had those rap songs. And they were like really good rap songs because you can just tell she has like an entire team of like hip hop artists helping her make this track and, you know, make something of her life. And then she totally like fell off the face of the world and everyone stopped caring, you know, is what happens. But I don't know. I think this shit might actually go somewhere. It's good music.
So that's one. What's the second one? I did two. You need to do.
You did two. Fuck. Shit. I listen to pop punk music. One of my favorite bands is called Like Pacific.
Why won't you fall for me? I'm distant like you asked me to be. No, not scared, but sad to say the least. My heart fell down with worlds created me. I felt your love, your stupid love that you had wasted all on me. Tense of bitterness on me. I hope you're some, I hope you win.
They're from Canada.
I mean, I would venture to say most of the music I love isn't metal. I like ska. I have ska albums. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, these days it's like if I hear a fucking amazing metal album, God knows I'll spin it, listen to it, love it, because that's what I grew up with. But it's like I just, you know, I fucking listen to whatever these days. I don't care.
Listen to whatever makes you happy, ultimately, unless it's, you know, Nazis. But
like, come on,
you get to a certain age and you realize it doesn't matter anymore. The further you get away from high school, you realize that it doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do that makes you happy and doesn't hurt anyone.
What if the music is from the Smiths?
Then you're canceled forever.
Yeah, like it's fucking objectively bad music, and everybody's still
the new Smiths album.
Everyone still fucking defends it. You know, it's like, well, you know, I really have a struggle separating the art from the artist in this one case because I grew up with this. The Smiths are fucking awful.
Have you heard the new Smiths album? It's fucking terrific.
It's terrible.
Yeah, Morrissey just needs a smack. That's all.
Morrissey needs a smack with a shovel.
Just give him a pan face.
make sure to keep that on the show and send it right to him. I'll just send him that one clip. Oh boy. But yeah, I think maybe it's a lame cop out answer. God knows I would love to just deep dive and get really into the nitty gritty and like get real philosophical with either of these issues when it comes to the death metal lyrics or the listening to pop music thing. But it's like, just fucking listen to what you want as long as it's not Nazis. And if you can be a fucking adult about porno grind, whatever, fine. Just know that it's like fucking old and stupid and there's a jillion bands and they're all bad. And you have bad taste in music and you're an idiot.
If porno grind went away tomorrow, would it be a loss?
Oh my God. If we just, if the Lord and Savior woke up and realized that this was a genre and in one blink, he just erased it from history. Not in history, but like in front of us, like all of it got deleted. Everybody who ever played it, everything on Metal Archives, all the albums on YouTube or Spotify or Bandcamp or wherever you could find it, they were just deleted off the face of the earth. No, of course not.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to say no one's going to miss it, but the vast, 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 vast majority of metal fans would not miss it. We would not be poor without having it. We would not be missing out on things. So what does that tell you about the bands that make it and the people that will defend it?
And that gets me really going, because the whole point of attacking people for listening to pop music is because you guys think that we listen to pop music so that we can be like quirky and different and do it for fucking clout. And it's like nothing is a bigger clout chase than pretending, okay? Bold italics pretending to like porno grind music. You're fucking joking. You're kidding. There's no way you could like that beyond ironically. Some fucking trash can snare in the background, some line six fucking guitar, and just and then they just make up the lyrics after the fact.
Trash can snare for trash can shaped guys making trash can sounding music.
That belong in guess what?
A trash can. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to get shit for that. I'm sure someone's going to say, that sounds fucking awesome. That's what I like. But you're kidding. You're a meme. That's what you are. Up and down.
You're going to lose 2 followers because of that.
I'm going to lose 11. I'm going to lose 0 because no one in my Twitter listens to this show, which is why I'm really quitting Twitter.
You don't need it.
I'm going to fucking delete it. That you know what? Let's take it back. Remember what I said about the Lord blinking out all of porno grind? If he did it to Twitter, not only would people like not feel it negatively, they would like everyone would be happier. Objective?
Yes. Everyone, I agree.
So much fucking happier if it was gone.
Social media has ruined our generation's brains, along with, you know, crippling debt, and, stagnant wages and poor health and bleak futures on the horizon. But social media does compound that.
So to recap, if you're paying Vince Neil $400 for a video, make sure you're getting your money's worth. Don't send that check until you get the video. He's got to try a few times. Don't get in a fight if your hands don't work. If you are going to have someone play at the Super Bowl, make sure that it's good music that's current and that most of the people in the crowd will care about. Most of the bands that y'all are bringing up aren't that shit. And most of the stuff they play isn't that shit either. Usually the crowd is just checking their phones and going to take a shit. Write better death metal lyrics. Just try to be creative. You know, it's a good genre. I like death metal. For all the shit I talk on death metal, it's like 50% of what I listen to. So obviously, like, I'm not trying to cancel death metal, but I think y'all can pick up a pen and think a little harder. Just listen to whatever the fuck you want. You go listen to Poppy. Poppy's new record. Apparently that's kind of metal.
Yeah, that got people upset too.
Yeah, it sure did, didn't it? What do you got to say? What are your thoughts on all this?
I haven't heard one Poppy song, so the only thing I know about her is that didn't she get her start on YouTube by saying, I'm Poppy?
It's just, she was just being weird on YouTube.
Yeah, that was her shtick, was being weird, and now it's like, I'm weird, but I have a backing band.
Yeah, her shtick was being weird on YouTube, and then Billie Eilish took being weird publicly into making music, and then Poppy was like, oh, wait, and then started making music. Maybe that's not true. Maybe my timelines are mixed up. I should really be an expert on this stuff, but I'm not.
Come back next week for a deep dive on Poppy.
Poppy, pop music in general, Super Bowl halftime shows. And just general health and wellness. Delete Twitter. Delete it. Just take it out of your life. Trust me.
Yeah, it sucks.
All right, boys. I think we're going to call it a wrap. And girls and friends beyond the binary, I want y'all to keep it metal. Take care of yourselves. And most of all, keep it metal. And then if you have nothing left, keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.